Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live for this Friday program. We try to have a little bit of fun on Fridays, and I'm sure we will have some fun today. Also cover some serious topics, so it's entirely up to you with your calls. Our number here is 888-318-7884. Second hour, don't call because we got the game show. Carlo's coming in. We're going to do the game show, Catholic Answers game show. It's always a lot of fun. And Carlo's getting really good at it. He's getting really good at Pig Latin, so you're going to want to join us for the second hour. First hour, we talk to the newest apologist here at Catholic Answers. Well, I don't know if he's the newest apologist. He's been an apologist for a long time, a lawyer, a seminarian, now a father. But he's the newest of the Catholic Answers apologists, someone we are so proud and happy to be associated with here, Joe Heschmeyer. Joe's the author of, I'm going to tell you what he's the author of, Pope Peter. I got this one in my hand here. Defending the Church's Most Distinctive Doctrine in a Time of Crisis. He's got one of my favorite book covers, a little bit of El Greco on his book, Who Am I, Lord? Finding Your Identity in Christ, and the perfect book for this year, A Man Named Joseph, Guardian of Our Times. Joe Heschmeyer, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. Thanks, Si.
You just keep putting those books out. You're doing really well. Is it because you have children now? You feel like, I need to pay some bills.
I have children now, so I need excuses to have quiet.
Oh, so you're getting some writing done.
Oh, I got to go right. Yeah, exactly. If I don't produce books periodically, my wife's going to catch on.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, this hour with Joe, we're going to talk about, the eternal kind of, I don't know if it's a debate or a tension between winning the argument and winning the person, winning the soul, winning the person for Christ. We can, in fact, win arguments and lose souls. I'm right about that, Joe, right? Like winning the argument doesn't automatically mean the person's coming in and getting baptized.
Not only that, but like you just said, it's possible to win the argument and lose the person, or to like lose their soul. And when the easiest way to imagine that is just like being a total jerk about it. Somebody makes a mistake and you just like dog on them and just like throw everything you've got at them and make them feel very, very stupid. They might realize on some level that you were right, but I'm going to bet they want nothing to do with you or your religion after that.
Yeah, right, right. So you put up a, because one of the things, I mean, the apologist has several tasks, but I always like the way Carlo thinks of it as removing obstacles. And so that's one way to think about it anyways. And emotional obstacles are real obstacles and you don't want to put them up.
Exactly. Yeah. Like so often in our trying to argue people into the faith, what we end up doing is creating new barriers and new obstacles, because what people end up rejecting is not the Catholic faith, but is our presentation of it or our personality in presenting it. And so we become more of a wall than a bridge.
Yes. Okay. And I know I have done that myself, but I have to say, Joe, when I have done that, and this is not to make an excuse. I'm just trying to get you to work around this. I generally feel that I do that in response to a provocation of some kind. And then I regret that I responded in the way that I did to a provocation. So a lot of winning the person, whether or not you win the argument, has to do with the kind of discipline that makes you not jump. And I don't always have that discipline, Joe.
Yeah, that's a really fair point. I mean, most of the time, it's like this was almost any sin or almost any failure, right? Like there was some context in which that became a possibility. You know, like you're not just going to go out and murder someone. And so people who
anymore?
Do that probably, yeah, anymore. Now that you're with Catholic Answers,
yeah, you gotta give now that up. I work here, I've given that up. But yes, go ahead, Joe.
But yeah, like the people who do even like horrible things, there's always a story behind what led them to that kind of moment.
Right.
So the fact that like somebody provoked us is not really an excuse. It's more of an explanation. But it's good to know, right? Like it's good to know, hey, when this person approaches it in this way, I tend to get really defensive or I get really angry or I get really fill in the blank. Because then I can watch that in myself and I can be more more careful guardian of my own emotions, of my own passions, and not just lash out when people are not being charitable in return. Like,
yeah.
We can't say, oh, yeah, we will evangelize as long as everyone we reach lives Christianity as well as we want them to, because the whole point is that they don't, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
We
yeah.
wouldn't be having the conversation if they had their house totally in order.
Well,
so it's, yeah.
All right. So I'm going to provoke you. a little bit, like you get provoked on the internet, and see how. And I want you to give me kind of a. We'll do a little role playing. All right. So Joe Heschmeyer is maybe you made a video for Shameless Potpourri or one of the other places that you that you're a superstar on. Okay, and it's something about. I don't know, so some defense of theism or a particular one of Aquinas's five proofs or something like that, one of the eight attributes of God. You're something like the, and someone says, instead of listening to the video or something, in the comments, they say something to along the lines of, do you only believe in your sky god or do you also believe in fairies and unicorns? You ever got that kind of response?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there's actually really good kind of ways to respond to that. But I think there's a few things here. One of the things with winning the person and not the argument is recognizing when the person's even wanting to have a serious conversation.
Right.
Like that person is advertising, like, I'm only talking so I can feel smart. I'm not interested in like learning from you. I'm not interested in leading you anywhere. I just want to say some things to dunk on you so that I can feel like the smartest person in the room. And when that's the game, when that's what's up, I think it's good to know that because you know when you're just throwing pearls before swine. Now, I think you ought to be really careful about that, meaning, like, I think there are times where a person doesn't seem like they're acting in good faith, they're acting kind of trollish, that really they have questions, they just don't have the humility to say, hey, I'm doubting my doubt. Like, I'm you know, struggling with my rejection of God. Something in me isn't sitting right. I don't know how to process that. You know, like it's, there's a reason these people who've allegedly given up on God spend more time talking about God than a lot of Christians.
Yeah, than the people who are supposed to love God. Yes, right.
Right. It's like at a certain point, if the girl mentions her ex like five times over dinner, she's probably not ready to date again, right? Like it's one of those things where it's like, okay, for a God you don't believe in, you spend a lot of time thinking about him.
Yes.
That's a good thing to kind of keep in mind. So the first thing I think to do in response to that is pray for the person. Second, like know the contact. Is this a person you have ongoing contact with, like a family member or a coworker, or is this just like some rando from the internet who's probably not even going to read your reply? If it's the latter, you probably don't do anything. You probably don't say anything.
Okay.
The third thing is like know your audience in the broader sense. Like it may be that person isn't interested in learning, but you can still give something that's helpful to other people who might have a milder form of that question, who really don't know the difference between God as uncreated reality and like a created hypothetical creature like a fairy or a unicorn. You know, like, and so then you could actually have even a really helpful discussion. Say, for instance, you talk about contingency and explain why God is necessary and beings, whether they're magical beings like unicorns or like a horse, are in a different category. So putting God in with the category of a unicorn, just like putting God in the same category as a horse, misunderstands what we mean by God and just shows like we're kind of talking past each other. Then the final thing I'd say is whenever possible, like try to find common ground. And in this case, say like, look, if your understanding of God is that he's like a big fairy or a big unicorn, then we totally agree that that is a ludicrous God that does not exist.
Oh, how not? Yeah, that's good. Okay, so what about the person that turns the argument into an accusation against you? I'm going to throw this one out to you. And by the way, call Joe. We're talking about winning the person, not necessarily the argument. 888-318-7884. There are perfectly solid, as a matter of fact, irrefutable arguments for the existence of God, and there are perfectly good reasons to have faith in Jesus and the Bible. But just because you win the argument about those things doesn't necessarily mean you win the person or the soul, and that's what we're talking about. If you'd like some help in that regard, 888-318-7884. This actually happened to me, Joe. I was in a context completely unrelated to any argument about race. I was talking about there has been a moral decline in our society since the 1960s, okay? And making points about the moral, so do you see where this is going?
I think I might somehow.
So the person that responded to me on the internet, one of the people, I mean, not everybody's like this, responded, so you want to go back to the days of Jim Crow before civil rights? Which I feel like, first of all, I mean, that's such a sensitive issue. That's like punching someone in the face, first of all.
Yeah.
But second, it's not fair. Don't talk to me that way. That's not fair. That's what I want to say. That's not fair. So how do you respond to something like that?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, like, hey, those are really strong kind of charges. And yeah. I hope you don't think that I actually want to reinstate segregation just because I believe in morality. Like,
yeah.
a lot of history, especially if you look outside of the U.S. context, you'll find people behaving morally that doesn't include racial segregation. Like, don't worry, you can be pro-morality without being pro-segregation. In fact, if you really want to have the conversation about civil rights, it's not a mistake that all of the major leaders came from clerical Protestant backgrounds, because they saw in Christianity this great defense of the principles that they were fighting for.
I wish I was like you, Joe. I'm going to take a break and then let people, because there's folks are lining up to call, but there are a few lines open if you have questions for Joe Heschmeyer. Catholic Answers apologist Joe Heschmeyer about winning the person, not necessarily winning the argument. 888-318-7884. We're not trying to encourage you to lose the argument. We're just saying that there are things more important than winning the argument. 888-318-7884. Store-wide sale ends Sunday night. I've been talking about it for weeks here. 10% off, 20% off, 25% off. In some cases, more than 25% off everything at shop.catholic.com, our store. Shop.catholic.com. Go get your savings now because it goes away Sunday night.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Now, not only can you watch EWTN anywhere, but anytime with EWTN On Demand. Get on-demand access to more than 12,000 EWTN programs, including live shows and specials, all in one place, all free. Just go to EWTN.com/on-demand. There's nothing to fill out, no memberships required, and no fees to pay. All you need is an internet connection, and you're good to go. EWTN On Demand. Fast, easy, and free.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Great Friday show for you. Second hour, Carlo will be here, and we're going to have the game show. This hour, Joe Heschmeyer, author of Pope Peter, Defending the Church's Most Distinctive Doctrine in a Time of Crisis, and other fine books, including Who Am I, Lord? Finding Your Identity in Christ, and the Book of the Year this year, because it's the year of St. Joseph, A Man Named Joseph, Guardian for Our Times. You can call with your question for Joe, 888-318-7884. If there's someone that you would like to have some help responding to in an apologetic or evangelistic way, you're welcome to call. Maybe there's an argument that you run up against where you get argumentative and you'd like some help on how to be more peaceable and helpful to others rather than responding in a fighting way. 888-318-7884. You okay if I just go to the phones, Joe?
Please, let's do it.
All right, let's go to Pennsylvania. Derek in Pennsylvania, watching on YouTube Live. You're first up today, Derek. Thanks so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Joe Heschmeyer.
Hey, Joe. I've been with my fiance for 8 years. We're just now getting married. And I just got back into going back into church about a year ago. And she had something traumatic happen in her life where she believes in God, but she's angry with him. And I'm trying to figure out, she makes up excuses. Like, I'm trying to get her to go to church and get involved with the community. And like, for instance, today I said that I was going to join a men's group and tomorrow and go down there and do something with the men's group. And she was like saying that it's like a cult or something. Like she was acting like that's cultish or something. She was born and raised non-denominational, and I was born and raised Catholic. And first I need to bring her back to God, and to realize the truth in God before I could even, see, I'm in a tight spot, and it's a lot, and it's hard to explain.
Well, fair enough. I think Joe's got enough to go on. Joe?
Yeah, Derek. So a few things. First of all, welcome back. I'm happy to hear that you've had what sounds like a major reversion in your own life. Second, congratulations on your upcoming wedding. Third, I think it's good to do a few things. First, like I said before, like acknowledge where there's common ground. Like it's cool that your fiance is ready to acknowledge that God exists. Like if she's angry at God, that's at least a good sign that she knows there is a God. And so that may be obvious, but pointing that out in a way that she recognizes, like to her, can actually be really healing, because it shows. It helps her realize maybe where she is. And again, like there's a lot of details I don't know. So some of this may be inapplicable. But the other thing I'd say is give space for the woundedness and the wrestling with God. Like one of the things that I think is really beautiful is the idea of the church as the new Israel. You know, so the idea is that God creates his people, Israel, and is fulfilled in the church. Well, why is that so cool? Well, partly because where does the name Israel come from? It's the name given to the patriarch Jacob after he spends all night wrestling with God. And so the thing that makes that so beautiful is like there's an invitation in Scripture to wrestle with God. And if you read the Psalms, if you read like the way people like Jonah talk to God, they let him know when they're mad at him. And the beautiful thing about that is like, A, God can take it, right? B, she's pouring out her heart to God. And see, like, God alone can heal her. Like, you can't heal the wound that she's got there. He can do something cool with the wound. What I mean by that is, like, when Jesus rises from the dead after being tortured and killed, undergoing this apparent abandonment by God the Father, right? He doesn't just wave the wounds away. He shows his glorified wounds to the Apostle Thomas on Easter morning, or a week after Easter morning. And on Divine Mercy Sunday. So like, what does God want to do here in these places in her heart that are wounded? And, you know, like that sort of thing, like that is a thing to pray for and really maybe encourage her in this idea that like, God knows she's wounded. He cares about her. He cared about her when it happened. He cares about her now. He didn't really abandon her. And there's an invitation there for her not to abandon him, but to keep that conversation going and kind of to see where it goes, you know? And then the final thing I'd say is one of the most convincing things you can do in a case like this, where it's not some intellectual objection to God, there's a real emotional wound, is sharing the ways God has touched your own life. Like this, like, let's say Cy constantly does horrible stuff to me. It's not that hard of a hypothetical.
It's actually pretty close to true.
One of the ways I'm going to heal in my relationship with Cy is finding out, oh, he's actually super nice to everybody else. That, I mean, we'll try to accept that as a hypothetical. So in other words, like, maybe she's had some really uncomfortable, unfortunate encounters with God where she feels like she's been abandoned. But when she can see in your life, in the life of someone she loves, what God is doing for you, just that witness, without saying, okay, now you have to accept, that witness can slowly start to open some doors.
What do you think, Derek?
Nope. Derek? Shouldn't let God heal her. I'm not God. I can't fix the wound. All I can do is plant seeds and let God water them. Amen.
All right, Derek, thank you. Thank you very much, Brett. Thank you for starting us off. Lots of folks on the line to talk with Joe Heschmeyer. Just as a matter of fact, one line open now. If you'd like to get in on it, you can call 888-318-7884. We're talking about winning the person, not just winning the argument in bringing the faith to others. We go now to San Antonio, Texas. Listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network is Roman. Roman, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Joe Heschmeyer.
Well, thank you for having me. Mr. Joe, my question is, I got a buddy of mine. He's a Southern Baptist, And he told me one time, I sent him some videos on Eucharistic miracles, on Fatima, on Divine Mercy. And he was like, these are really cool. He's really interesting. He said, if I would have learned these when I was younger, I might be Catholic. I don't know how to bring up these things and say, hey, man, like, you'd be a great Catholic. You should convert, but I'm not trying to force anything on you. And I don't know how to engage or start that conversation.
Yeah, it depends a lot on the relationship, right? Like, it depends on maybe how close you are with your buddy. But I think it's totally okay to say, look, man, I love you. I love the faith journey you're already on. I see a lot of good in, like, your relationship with God. And I think God's inviting you to something more. And it seems like you've got something going on in your heart because of how you responded to these videos. And so I think it's okay to just say, like, yeah, I really want you to be Catholic like I am. Because if we're all called to be Catholic, like, why wouldn't we want our friends and family to join in this? Like, it's so beautiful. It's so rich. You know, like, if you discovered an amazing new restaurant and your buddy was eating at, like, Burger King, no offense to Burger King, you'd be like, no, there's somewhere way better. You're in San Antonio, right? So, like, maybe it's, like, Whataburger for you. But it's like, you know, you just say, like, come along with me. Like, there's something better here. And, like, is that trying to change him? Sure. But, like, in the way that someone who loves someone else tries to change them, you're not saying, like, everything you know and believe is terrible. You're just saying you might be invited to more. Let's walk together and find out.
Okay, so how does that strike you, Roman?
Very interesting, very helpful, giving me a lot more perspectives on things, you know, that I wasn't really able to see before. And it's very helpful coming on a more loving side, more inviting side rather than...
Yeah.
Give away what you think you know, and then I got more for you. No. It's like, we have more to offer. Like, I got you. Thank you.
Yeah. That's a great way to say it. Like, you want to affirm everything he's got because there's so much. Like, Protestantism is just kind of like Catholicism light in some ways. Like, it's we love what they have. There's just more ingredients that they're missing. And so we don't have to throw out what they've got. We just want to say, but there's more. And it's beautiful. Like, think about it. Like, if you've got a personal relationship with Jesus – and someone says, here's the idea of the Eucharist. Even if you're not ready to believe it, you should at least say, I want that to be true. Like, I wish that were true, because if I could receive Jesus in this radical new way, wow, like that would be life-changing.
Roman, thank you very, very much. Appreciate that. Our number is 888-318-7884. Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. And we're talking about winning souls, basically. And if you've got questions, maybe there's an obstacle. Maybe you are, like me in many cases, too argumentative. And you need to learn. I have gotten better since working with Jimmy Akin. I got to tell you that, Joe. I'm much, more peaceful about the whole thing. Like, just learned to do my part and not be such a nudge.
Yeah, he's got a good spirit, though, Jimmy.
Yeah, he does. He does. You do too, Joe. I'm sorry. I feel bad about how mean I am to you now. Let's go to Centennial, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Big booming signal in Colorado. Mike is on the line. Mike, go ahead with your question for Joe Heschmeyer.
Thank you. My question is, what do you do when you're in some type of, not an argument, but a confrontation with one of the leaders, like a pastor or a group leader? And I'll tell you the background real quick. I'm a member of an excellent Christian ministry in the Denver metro area, Protestants and Catholics. And last year, we discussed the pandemic, and we were looking at the scripture in 1 Kings with Ahab and Jezebel. You know the story. And I said, hey, you know, when we do things to God and turn our back on him, like them, he gave them a drought. Us, maybe it's a wake-up call for a country that promotes same-sex marriage and abortion. One of the leaders just went after me like, you can't believe. And the two pastors in the group, from Protestant pastors, just remained silent. And I tried to explain to them, I'm subjectively, not judging anybody, but objectively, when a jurisdiction supports by law, the Supreme Court, same-sex marriage, it's wrong, and it's against everything we believe as Christians. That's my story.
So what was the question with it?
What do you do when basically the rocks are being thrown at our beliefs, my beliefs, not me personally.
Right.
I didn't take it personally, but he said to me, the leader, my son's a homosexual, and you're judging him and his kind. And I said, I don't even know your son, and I'm not judging him. I'm saying –
any jurisdiction that promotes it is wrong. Maybe we're getting a wake-up call with the pandemic. It got worse then.
Yeah, okay. I think there's maybe a couple things. If you're probably, first of all, I think you'll have a better conversation just focusing on the morality of homosexuality without the theory about the pandemic. Meaning, like, you don't need to choose a battle on the theory about COVID. That's going to be a much harder conversation.
Joe, I'm going to just ask you, hang on, if you can hang on, Mike, because we got the music playing, and I want Joe to give you a full answer, because this is a great question. So you raise a moral objection, and you get the, you get the full fight from somebody else. How do you deal with that situation? We'll deal with that with Joe Heschmeyer right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Call us now with your question. Hello? On Catholic Answers Live.
According to divine command, we should give God worship, but how do we know if we're doing it right? Is worship a form of self-help? To make me feel better? A form of social activism or even a commodity? Or is it something that transcends all of those? In Real Religion, How to Avoid False Faith and Worship God in Spirit and Truth, Father Jeff Kirby cuts through the misguided modern notions about God and religion and takes you back to the foundation for true worship, God's revelation about himself. From his first contact with his chosen people to the culmination of his revelation in Jesus Christ, God shows us what religion is supposed to be like and how to make the practice of it a lifelong virtue in our lives. Order your copy of Real Religion by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live on this, where we are, Friday afternoon. Maybe where you are, it's Friday evening, or it might even be Saturday morning where you are. Wherever you are, we're happy you're here with us. And when it's Friday afternoon here, we try to make it a little lighter, have a little more fun. Second hour, Carlo will be here to do that with us, and we'll have the Catholic Answers Game Show, the name of which is Catholic Answers Game Show. We couldn't come up with a better name. We're still years into doing it. We have not come up with a better name than that. But the show just gets better and better. And it's always fun to hear Carlo speak Pig Latin. So join us next hour for the game show. This hour, our good friend and now a colleague and fellow Catholic Answers member, Joe Heschmeyer, is here to talk about winning the person, not just winning the argument. Mike in Colorado on the line asking, before we went to the break, Joe, about a situation where it sounds to me like, and Mike can tell us if this is true, but it felt like a safe situation to discuss moral issues because you're in a group with other Christian men, both Protestant and Catholic. And one of the men there was greatly offended by the idea that but same-sex marriage and that kind of thing is wrong for our society to endorse, greatly offended by it. You were addressing that when we had to go to the break, so I'll leave it in your capable hands, Joe.
Well, thanks. Well, Mike, I think the first thing here is, yeah, you're in one of the trickiest situations where someone's kid is involved and the moral judgment of the action, they can't separate from like all of the emotions they have caught up with their kid. And it's a situation where you can't even be like, oh, no, I love your kid, because you've literally never even met the kid, right? Like, so it's a complicated situation. I think that's okay to just acknowledge. if this person in the group is someone who you're going to have continuing interactions with, if it's someone who you're at all friends with, if it's someone who, you know, you just want to like have that conversation, maybe just literally say like, hey, do you want to sit down for a cup of coffee? And I think the things you could maybe talk about are one, like, do they believe it's ever true that you can love the sinner and hate the sin? C.S. Lewis talks about like how in his own life he realized that the more he cared about himself, the more he was actually disgusted by his own sinfulness. So he saw within himself that like he loved himself and therefore hated his sins. And that it really should be a situation where the more we love other people, the more our hearts break over sin in their life, because the sin is keeping them from being the people that God wants them to be, people God who has made them to be. So it really should be an act of love to say, we want what's best for your son and everyone. And that's going to be the thing that's in conformity with the way God has actually made the person, body and soul. That sort of thing, I think, is a good thing to drive home. That it isn't just like, I'm a Pharisee, I'm going to judge you because you've got different sins than I do. It's like, no. Like, we shouldn't, as a culture, pretend some sins are really good and we should, like, rejoice in them and celebrate them and like, that sort of thing. And then, so I think you could have that conversation. The other conversation you could potentially have is, what does he think marriage is? You know, the father, what does the leader think that marriage is in the first place, on a secular level, on a religious level, and so on? Because if it's just any two people who want to, you know, say they love each other, why does it have to be romantic? You know, so in other words, like, you can have the more theoretical conversation about marriage, about the law around marriage and all of that. And I think it's pretty clear you can believe marriage is between a man and a woman without hating homosexuals. The example I always use is ancient Greece. Like, there was widespread homosexual relationships, but they still didn't think that was the kind of thing that a marriage was. That this wasn't because they hated homosexuals. This was because they recognized something about marriage and its connection to the family and to reproduction, frankly, that we've kind of lost in the modern world. Now, I know that's a lot. There's a lot of different kind of loose threads there. I'm just mapping, like, some places you could go if this guy is at all open to it. But based on what I'm hearing, it maybe sounds like you don't feel like he is.
What do you think, Mike?
We did have the further conversation. He's a great guy. He's a great Christian. But what he told me, he's an evangelical Christian. He's a member of an evangelical church. He said they hammer him continuously. And I try to tell him, hey, I'm a Catholic. I love this, the sinner, but not the sin. He just couldn't separate it because he's so wounded, he told me, by his religious right. He kept referring to the religious right. So, you know, and I think being in a group, that just stung him more than our conversation to begin with. But we had a follow-up conversation. I'm not bad-mouthing him in any way or the ministry. It's an excellent ministry. He's a great guy and a great leader, but he loves his son. He's so hurt. And I don't think he knows where to go with it. And that's, I'm not a minister. I'm not a priest. I just change the subject, and I don't talk to him about it anymore. And I just felt funny because the other two pastors in the group said nothing. And that really hurt me more than...
That might be who you have the issue with, Mike, is the other two pastors.
I think so. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I think just have that conversation to say, you know, it really hurt me. It hurt my feelings. It hurt, you know, for you not to exercise that kind of fraternity and any sort of spiritual leadership in that situation. Especially if they consider themselves pastors. Like, a pastor doesn't just turn and run at the first sign of danger. That's what a bad shepherd does, right? So there's a whole lot of things with them being, you know, Protestant ministers in the first place. But just as Christians, like, they should be called to take those hard stands when appropriate. So maybe they have some insights into why they stayed silent, or maybe you can, you know, have some healing that needs to happen there. It sounds like you've already kind of reached out a little bit to him. And maybe you need to reach out a little bit to them, because it sounds like there are a couple other bridges that might need to be rebuilt.
Okay, Mike?
Ministry rules. Yeah, it's part of the ministry rules not to judge, and maybe that's where they were looking at us from, that perspective. Yeah. But thank you. I appreciate your insight.
Thank you.
I will follow up what you said.
Thanks, Mike. I kind of get the idea of not to judge, Joe, in the sense that, like, if I go to a men's group and I have a problem with alcohol or pornography or I don't gambling or whatever, then you want to be able to share that But that's a different thing than making a moral judgment about, say, same-sex marriage, which seems on a completely – you're not judging a person then. You're just making a moral judgment. A society shouldn't do that.
Right. It does seem like we can say both this thing isn't right and still have a tremendous amount of compassion and not judge the person who maybe struggles in whatever area. I mean, in all the areas you just mentioned, we could say – hey, maybe the laws around like alcohol are too lax. That doesn't mean like everyone who's an alcoholic is a horrible person and I hate them and I think I'm better than them, right? Like you can have both of those things. Like we've unfortunately got a situation where we either hate the sin and the sinner, or we love the sin and the sinner. And it's like neither of those are not the two choices. Like there is another way to go about it.
There is indeed. Our guest is Joe Heschmeyer. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We're talking about winning the person, winning the soul, rather than just winning the argument. If you are, maybe you're an argumentative person who'd like some tips from Joe, or maybe you have a particular soul whose future you'd like to discuss or that who you need some help approaching. 888-318-7884. John in Indiana is listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. John, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Joe Heschmeyer.
Hello. I was raised Catholic. I was born. And I'm not going to say I made the mistake of marrying somebody that was different than my faith, but I wish I would have stuck with my heritage. And What had happened over the years was I have taught apologetics for, I mean, absolutely years. And I did not realize that there was different Bibles. Since I was raised Catholic, I thought everybody knew about the Maccabees. I thought everybody knew about Tobit and so on and so forth. So, I mean, my faith was pretty much set in stone, even though that this person is spiritual. There was an argument that came up where they started bashing the Catholic Church, and then I reminded the people of the Apostles' Creed that Christ is not divided. And it didn't really start an argument. It was like a slam on the brakes between myself, the ministry that I was involved in, my wife, and it was like, we need to become Catholic. So my thing is I haven't been to the Catholic Church out of, how can I say it? Because of my work, I work a lot to support my family. So I was going to my wife's church only because of the hours of it. I was not able to attend Mass. So it wasn't that my heart wasn't there. It was just a matter of availability. So I guess my question is, what do I do to come home?
Beautiful. I think you've already made the first step. It seems like God stirred up something in your heart. You recognized it and you said yes. I think the easiest answer to that question is if you go to masstimes.org, you can find local parishes. I mean, it sounds like you might literally be at a place where like the appropriate next step is to go to a local parish, find a time you can like sit down with the priest, go to confession, find out about if there are mass times that work with your work schedule, all of those. I mean, if you're really like at a point where you're ready to say yes to all of that, then I think that's the big kind of step you can take. Now, it might be a situation where going through something like RCIA or having maybe one-on-one meetings with the priest or with some member in the parish could be really helpful for maybe filling in some of the gaps or like, I don't know how much formation you got growing up, but that a lot of people, even if they grew up Catholic, coming back, they often find that to be a helpful experience for them. And it can be a good way to build a little bit of that community too. Again, that depends a lot on like, are you living in like a very Catholic area with a lot of big churches or small ones or, you know, et cetera. So I would seriously just look up masstimes.org. I would reach out. I would even physically go to the church, try to, you know, sit down with the priest and basically just say what you just said to me. Everyone with even an ounce of Catholic Christianity in their soul is going to rejoice at what you just said. And so hopefully they can get you connected into a real community so you don't feel like you're kind of drifting or kind of flying totally blind.
What do you think about that, John?
That's awesome. The problem is just the connection. You know, I want to abide in what God is calling this It's almost like a season. The season's over. It's almost like, you know, when God showed up and I found myself on the other side of the argument defending the church. I mean, my heart was broken. I wasn't angry, but I knew it was a spiritual issue. And I was like, okay, God's doing something here. And even the pastor was saying, you know, it was like, well, I got Catholic roots. I said, I think that we were all brought together for a reason. But
that's incredible.
They have a lot of fear, and we know that fear is a spiritual thing. You know, as people were talking about the whole same-sex marriage thing, you know, how they get so emotional over something that is so spiritual. You know, and the battle's been going on for forever, but the whole thing is addressing it with truth. And that's my thing, is I don't want to do this in my power. I want to do it according to the guidelines and the principles of the priests and the fathers and stuff. I want to do it the right way. I want to do it God's way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing you mentioned, your background is Pentecostal. That's right. You know, one of the things I know your background before that was Catholic. There's something really beautiful about the Pentecostal embrace and belief in miracles that I think having a conversation about the Eucharist, like, this is the most incredible miracle that exists on earth today. And I have found in conversations with Pentecostals and Assemblies of God folks, like, there's more of an openness to that. And then once they hear about it, it's like a magnet that draws them into the church, because it's like, oh, wow, this was the thing we were looking for. And so, you know, especially, you know, with sometimes the Catholic charismatic community can be a real bridge, because they have a real focus on the spiritual gifts. And so it's a real embrace of everything good and everything true within Pentecostalism, with a fullness that people are looking for and hungry for. And so as long as you're having that openness to God, it sounds like that whole group, God is doing something right there. That'd be amazing to see what he's going to do for you, what he's going to do even for other members of the group too.
You know what I'd like to do, if it'd be all right with you, John? I don't know if you have the MP3 download or the CD of our own Tim Staples talking about his conversion from Pentecostalism to Catholicism. It's called Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic. But I'd love to send it to you if you'd like. It might give you some ideas about what Tim went through in his own conversion to Catholicism, but also with his family. And some of his family was, in fact, quite anti-Catholic. So I'll tell you what, I got to take a break, but you hang on the line. If you'd like to get Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic from our own Tim Staples, I'd love to send it to you. You just hang on. There's other folks on the line, however, and I'd ask you to stay on the line. We're going to be right back with more with Joe Heschmeyer. Winning the person, not necessarily winning the argument, this hour on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about winning the person, not necessarily just winning the argument. 888-318-7884. Our number. Joe is the author of a whole bunch of things, including Pope Peter, Defending the Church's Most Distinctive Doctrine in a Time of Crisis. Let's go to Ohio. Listening on 820 AM, Jerry in Ohio, you are next. Go ahead with your question for Joe Heschmeyer.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Jerry.
My question's this. I was raised Catholic. I had a falling out with the church over a divorce. And I stopped going to church. I married another woman, and she's very faithful to her church. I didn't go for the longest, and then I started to try to go a couple months back. Now, her family seems to think because I was raised Catholic that there would be a conflict of interest with me going to their church. It's not a non-Catholic church. How do I get through to them that just because I was raised Catholic doesn't mean that I don't have the belief and faith of Jesus?
I see. So they're worried that because you're Catholic, you're not a real Christian, something like that?
That's how I feel. I felt like it was an assault on my belief. Just because I didn't go to church, for the longest, doesn't mean I still don't believe and still don't pray. My faith is still strong.
If I may, Jerry,
didn't go to the church.
When you go to this church, is the preaching anti-Catholic? Because there are Protestantisms, there are Protestant preachers who are actually anti-Catholic preachers, although I would say they're in the great minority. Is it anti-Catholic preaching?
No. The pastor of the church is a wonderful guy. I've talked to him on many occasions, and he's embraced me into the church. But it seems like, my family has an animosity towards the belief that I grew up with.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I
could.
Go ahead, Joe. If you go ahead and respond to Jerry.
Well, okay. Yeah, Jerry. First of all, it's amazing that you are opening up a little more about, the fact that you're trying to go back to church and all of that is really good. Second, I am really sorry for all of the wounds that may have happened in the whole divorce process. I know that can be really messy. I know that can be really painful. And I know there's probably a lot there that we probably don't want to unpack on national radio for your sake, right? But know that God still loves you. He still wants you as part of the church that he brought you up in. You're part of our family, Jerry. And so it's amazing that you are still praying. It's amazing that you haven't given up the faith, even when there's been some woundedness. It's great that you've found a community of people that are prayerful and spiritual and can kind of help you with some of that journey. I would just say, don't give up on the Catholic Church. Don't take what I'm about to say the wrong way. I almost think of a lot of Protestant churches like good Bible studies. As a Catholic, if I go to a Bible study, that doesn't replace going to Mass. It's just something else on top of it. Because in the Bible study, it's we unpack what the scriptures are saying and we figure out what it seems like God is saying to us. And that's good and that's beautiful. And that's the first half of what happens at Mass. But the second half of what happens at Mass is even more important, where Jesus himself is offered on the altar, and we are brought into this incredible communion with him. There's a line in 1 Corinthians 10 where St. Paul says that we, like the church, are one body because we partake of the one loaf. What he means there is we share in the one Eucharist. He's not saying there's literally a big old loaf of bread everyone around the world eats from. He's saying there's one Christ that we receive Eucharistically, and that's what makes us the church in the fullest sense. And so the goal is to whatever has to happen, if you've got an annulment case that needs to happen, if you've got whatever that is, I would just encourage you and say, don't let anything hold you back from the fullest communion possible with Jesus Christ in the church that he created. There may be people, there may be Catholics who get in your way, who are walls instead of bridges, who are barriers and burdens. There may be bureaucratic annoyances. There may be misunderstandings. There may be even family members and friends who don't get what you're going through, who say and do hurtful things. Whatever the case may be, I would just really just encourage you that give everything you've got with the courage and spirit of almost a martyr, right? To just say I want Jesus, and I want to be where he wants me to be, and I want as much Jesus as I can get. If you take that approach, I would say, like, with that courage, maybe have a conversation with, like, whoever your local Catholic priest is, kind of lay out maybe the details, the messiness of the divorce and remarriage and all of that, and see if he can kind of pastorally kind of give you a little help and guidance. But then the last thing I'd say is just, like, I'm really sorry that maybe your family misunderstood and doesn't think Catholics are Christians or don't think that, like, Catholics love Jesus. The fact that you're listening to Catholic radio, the fact that you're calling in, the fact that you're grappling with this in your heart tells me that, like, you are someone who is, like, hungry for God, right? Like, you're wanting to do this and wanting to do it the right way.
Jerry, what's your response to that?
I do. I hit a point last year that I really thought I needed to get back in the church. And so I started going with my wife. And I enjoy the church that I'm going to. I do miss, you know, Mass and all the, you know, the stuff I grew up with. And I really want them to accept me for who I am, not for what they think a Catholic is. That was my whole thing, and you've touched on a lot of good points about it. And I tried talking to him, and last Sunday I showed up at church, and I don't know, they were surprised that I showed back up. So I'm hoping
that's really hard.
Constantly going, that they'll understand that I need this to progress with my spirituality.
Have you thought about, maybe this is like total, I don't know where they're at. Have you thought about even inviting them to a Catholic Mass just to see what it is?
I've thought about that, but I really don't know. I'm in a completely new, you know, town in Ohio. I think I know where a couple of Catholic churches are, but I'd really want to talk to the priest first, the father, and find out if I'm able to actually start attending.
Oh, you're able to attend, Joe. Yeah. You don't need anybody's permission to attend. I'm sorry to interrupt, Joe.
No, that's great. I think, I would just want to echo what Cy said. But then I also say, like, if you want to talk to the priest to feel a little more comfortable, because I know, like, sometimes when you show up to a new place, even just being in a new town at a new church where you feel like everybody might know each other, it can feel uncomfortable, right? So if you want to sit down with the priest, it sounds like you've got a pretty good plan of what to do already. Sit down with the priest, share your situation, make sure that you feel welcome coming back in. And so that, you know, he's not going to lock the door when you show up, which, spoiler alert, he won't. I'd say do that. And then by all means, like, if you feel the Spirit is moving in that direction, like, invite your family to come with you to Mass and see this thing that's a part of who you are and how you were brought up.
I appreciate it. Thank you. That's good advice. I might just try that this Sunday.
Praise God.
Wonderful.
Jerry.
Thank you. And yes, sir.
We have a book that kind of explains the Catholic faith. If you'd like it, I don't want to send something to your home that you don't want, that you think might cause a conflict or something like that. But it's called Why We're Catholic. And I won't make you answer on the air even. You just let the call screener know if you'd like the book or you would not like the book. But certainly continue to call. We do open forum every Tuesday and Thursday. And if this is an ongoing thing, apologists such as Joe Heschmeyer, our guest today, and the other apologists are happy to help you. It does seem, I mean, if you're being called back into church and there's reading of the scriptures, there's preaching of the word in every Catholic church, and also even if you're not ready to receive the Eucharist again, you can make a spiritual communion, you can sit and be with Jesus. So I do hope that that's, it's just a wonderful chance to get to talk with you, Jerry, and I hope that that's the way this is moving. But you'd let the call screener know if you'd like to get that book. Joe Heschmeyer, you can hear the music. Thank you very much. This was a great, I think we ought to do this topic again because it produced, I mean, there was a lot of really great calls.
Agreed. I'd love to do this again.
You can get Joe's books at shop.catholic.com. He's got one on St. Joseph, and it's the year of St. Joseph. Will you do a show with us on St. Joseph, Joe? Because I feel like we're kind of letting St. Joseph down here on Catholic Answers Live. We haven't done really many.
Two things. Number one, yes. Number two, I actually did one with Chris Check when you were out of town.
Oh, you did it when I was out of town. Fine. All right, the game show's coming up next. Get ready for some Pig Latin from Carlo Broussard, and we'll have a lot of fun right after this on Catholic Answers Live.